Now it's deep into safe harbor. It's Dark 30. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off the radio if you don't want to potentially hear some outrageous material, because this is when we kick back down a shot of hard liquor and try to have some fun. And I am your creepy guide across the river Styx.
Abandon all hope. Daddy going to give you something to drink now.
That's right. In the studio with producer Hardwood Forrest Connor, we have Kelly Griffin. We have investigator Shelley Wright from Wright's Coin Shop. What a time to live in. 2012. Your shop, Shelley, Wright's Coin Shop, it becomes a central point of conversation. It's like the barber shop, right? People come in there, they talk about the apocalypse, they talk about politics, they talk about how the world's going to hell in a handbag, don't they?
They bring me ghost pictures, they bring me chocolate.
And so, anything new and exciting happening there other than the usual?
Markets were up today.
Oh, yeah?
Kept going up all day. This is a wonderful thing.
So that means if you are one of the people who was fortunate enough to buy when it was low, you now have more money in your pocket today because you went to Wright's Coin Shop.
Yes. Yay.
But it's not too late.
No.
We know gold and silver are going to just keep going up.
Yes, they will.
And you guys have all kinds of stuff, all kinds of collectible coins and things.
We do, and we're preparing for the coin show this weekend.
Oh.
The Buncombe County Coin Show.
I see. Well, that's very cool. And well, basically, there are...
Or was it? I'm not going to be there.
Okay.
We're sending the guys.
And so, well, then people are forced to find you at Wright's Coin Shop.
Yep,
then
they're just going to have to come to the coin shop.
How do they find you there?
You can go to 1271 Sweeten Creek Road in Asheville, or you can call me on the phone at 828-298-5402.
828-298-5402 to talk to Shelley Wright. You know, Shelley, last hour when we were talking with Aaron Sagers, he mentioned all the toys and things he has, memorabilia.
Yes.
And there's a new program that recently came out on the Travel Channel called Toy Hunter. Any of you see that?
I've seen the previews for it.
It's a really cool show. It's the same type of show that you've seen a million times now, a picker type show. But, you know, this guy just goes out and he's specifically looking for old toys. So when you watch it, it's a nostalgic experience. But episode number one, you know where he went to pick toys?
Where?
Asheville, North Carolina.
Really?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, they show all these great shots of Asheville. They show the Asheville Masonic Temple there, which, of course, is where the museum and lab are in the basement. And the funniest thing of all is that the guy who is the toy hunter, he goes into this shop where he is talking to this lady about her toy collection. Turns out the lady, her name is Marnie, she went to high school with me. Yeah, she was a wonderful person. I haven't talked to her in years, but I thought, just weird, you know, I watched this show on the Travel Channel. The guy comes to Asheville. He shows the building where I have my museum. And then he ends up, you know, dealing with the person I went to high school with. And here I am about to be on this Travel Channel show. Again, it's the 2012 synchronicity, all just climaxing and coming together that way. HauntedAsheville.com is where you should go if you want to see some pictures inside the Mystery Museum. So, Shelley, you guys have a pretty low rate of theft there at your store, I presume, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Is it a 0%?
Probably so, yeah.
Well,
we have a reputation.
Listen to this story from Norway. A woman in Norway has been arrested. People noticed her going into a shop and then kind of hobbling out, wearing a skirt, and walking in a very suspicious manner. So they got a hold of the cops. The cops were able to quickly apprehend her, and they made her lift up her skirt. And guess what this woman had under her skirt? A 42-inch color television.
Oh, my.
There's a lot of storage space down there.
Ooh.
42. Now, how?
Is it fully concealed?
Exactly. I don't know if it was fully concealed. My impression is it was wedged quite well between her thighs. She told the cops that she had, quote, very strong thigh muscles, end quote.
I'll say.
The police said it's not unusual that thieves put bits and bobs under their skirts and large sweaters, but this was quite extraordinary. It reminds me of that, isn't there a James Bond movie where the female villain, she entices men into her bedroom and then she just crushes them between her thighs? You know what I'm talking about? No, okay.
I think I do. I don't remember which one it is.
That's her deadly skill that she's mastered. What better way to entrap James Bond, right? The deadly thighs. But the cops say that, you know, they couldn't figure out how she had done this. So when they got back to the station, they tried it with female officers. Well, that's a fun day on the job. And they say, oh, it's definitely hard, but certainly not impossible. And so now there are people all around Europe who have heard about this story who are trying it out themselves. This woman, the thief, has been nicknamed Thunder Thighs, 31 years old. But I'm reading this story from the Daily Mail in the UK. And as if that was not weird enough, the last paragraph of this story says, this is the strangest story of this type in Scandinavia in nearly a decade. In Sweden, in 2005, a gang of dwarves were busted after it was discovered they were loaded onto long-distance buses only to emerge in mid-journey to steal from suitcases before zipping themselves back in their hiding places. Yes, a gang of dwarves that just pop out from under chairs and hidden compartments, steal everything, and then vanish.
I know a couple people that if they saw this, they would freak out.
I might be one of them. You'd question your sanity.
Did I just see that?
Yes. If you noticed, yes, dwarves magically materialize, steal everything, and then vanish. The rest of your life, you'd be telling people, I've seen the trolls, they're real. I've seen the pixies, whatever. And everybody would think, he's lost his mind. But maybe this explains a lot. I mean, I'm sure they didn't just start doing that in 2005. They've probably been doing it for centuries. Maybe for thousands of years. Dwarves have been hiding in little crevices and compartments around the world, for all we know. Maybe they like socks. That's why you always have that missing sock in your
dryer. The underwear gnomes.
The true underwear gnomes. We need that little music thing, right? Underwear gnomes. Well, and of all places, Scandinavia. You know, really, we should be learning something from this about the nature of folklore. They're real. Underwear gnomes are real. I think that's the point of that story. So that's never happened at Wright's Coin Shop.
No. No band of roving
dwarves. I bet it will now. I bet it will now. Okay, Here's a story that is from Georgia. And I read this, and at first I was like, okay, another naked man kind of... But then I was like, ooh, this is... No, this is weirder. This is a twist. Officials have jailed a 32-year-old lab technician. Apparently, they discovered him pretty much passed out in the lab, very intoxicated, with his pants down, and in the same room, two lab monkeys running around.
Oh.
Yeah. Lab monkeys. They say it was obvious that the monkeys had been let out of their cages. They say this technician, he smelled of alcohol. He became belligerent and combative when they woke him up and asked him, what happened here? What a scene to encounter. A drunk lab technician laying there with his pants down and monkeys running around in the room. What happened here, you dirty son? What did you do to these monkeys? But maybe the monkeys did it to him, right? The monkeys can't talk. But we know what monkeys do. We've seen Discovery Channel. I mean...
They'll rip your face off.
Me and Forrest got into a deep discussion, was it last night or the night before, about
a couple nights ago,
whether or not koalas can rip your face off.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, I was trying to tell her koala bears will rip your face off.
I wouldn't get my face close to one. And you know, they say here, they end the story in the Huffington Post by saying the monkeys were examined by a veterinarian and they were found to be unharmed. But I'm thinking, well, they didn't say if they examined this man's, you know what, was he unharmed or was he really, really, really sore the next day? I don't know. But I would say on the list of things not to do, don't get intoxicated, don't get liquored up, and go stumbling into a lab, let the monkeys out, and go to sleep, and especially with your pants down. That's all I'm saying. I don't know. I don't know what happened. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue reading crazy stories. Oh, yeah, we're going next to Florida, and then we're going again to Florida. One story from Broward County about what sent a judge in the courtroom dashing from the courtroom for a soap dish to scrub off of himself what he had just touched. And also why that a couple of cops are in big trouble in Florida for what they were doing in a public pool. It's the hour when we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, but from a much more outrageous and controversial bent, if you will. It's the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
As you stand under the bar light, and the band plays some song about forgetting yourself. Honey, I hang like a dead man from a wide oak tree. People sitting on porches thinking how things used to be. Dark night, it's a dark night. The neighborhood was changing. Stranger
Dark 30 Hour on Speaking of Strange. I am Joshua P. Warren. This is the hour when we dig into the more outrageous, controversial, and often seedy news as of late. Not for the kiddies. Not for the easily offended. If you have a connection to either of those things, hey, just tune out and tune back in next hour. But this is when we feel it's our duty to share with you just how weird, dark, and twisted things can become. And that's why we do it late at night here. Also, keep in mind, this program is brought to you in large part by the Sunshine Simple Solar Generator for the Home. It is the world's most powerful solar generator for the price. It was created by my team and I. It never runs out of fuel. It has no moving parts. It works in harmony with Mother Nature. If you want to see a free demonstration of how this device works, go to sunshinesimple.com. Watch the little video there with me showing you why it's so special. sunshinesimple.com. You know, I'll tell you guys something else that we're going to get posted here if it's not up already. On speakingofstrange.com, you remember Marshall Barnes, who was on the show a while back talking about invisibility and Tesla technology?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's put out a new press release claiming that he has cracked time travel.
Quite cool.
So,
did you put it out tomorrow?
No, it actually... waka waka. You know, where did it come from? Where did it originate from? And so, we'll have that posted there, and we'll try to get Marshall on an upcoming show and ask him, what exactly are you talking about? I mean, I could just read his press release, but I'd rather get it from his mouth. And yeah, he says, I've done it. I have cracked time travel. We'll see. There's a movie called Primer that came out a few years ago. Have you ever seen that?
No.
It was a big hit in the indie circuit, and I started watching it online, and typical time travel movie, you know, it just gets really complicated, but pretty cool because it's very realistic about just a group of guys in a little laboratory, sort of like the one we've got, and the process they go through to create a time machine, and then, of course, they become corrupted by it and all that. So, okay, let's get back to some weird news. It took us long enough, but we are here finally. Story from Broward County, Florida. That's our Florida bell. We read so many Florida stories inadvertently. That's just how it works out, as I was talking to Aaron Sagers about, that now there's this mysterious bell here in the studio. We don't know where it came from. We don't know what it's supposed to be used for. But for us, as long as it's here, it will be the Florida bell. So a judge in Broward County. Now, Broward County is where the hanging Chad phenomenon occurred, right, Forrest?
It is.
So Broward, in Broward County, a judge was asking a man in his courtroom from Lauderdale Lakes why that he missed a hearing. I don't know what the hearing was originally about. The man told the judge that he missed the hearing because he was sick. And the judge asked for medical documentation. And so the guy says, yes, sir, I have medical documentation. So he goes up and I'm sure he handed the bailiff, I think is how it works, a bag, a brown paper bag. The bailiff takes the brown paper bag over to the judge. The judge opened it up, looked inside, reached in, began taking items out and looking at them. And then the judge said, good Lord. He put everything back in and he immediately excused himself. Ran outside and came back a few minutes later. He sat down and explained that he had gone to wash his hands. The judge said he had reached into the bag and pulled out a variety of paraphernalia, such as condoms and medication and other items related to a series of severe venereal diseases. The judge said, quote, it was a bag full of venereal diseases, end quote, that he had just reached into and pulled out. The judge says, quote, well, there's no doubt he received medical treatment on that day. And then he went on to say, there's a lot of things that need to be figured out, and I don't want to be the person who figures it out, end quote. It's kind of a silly way for things to work in the courtroom. Hand a judge a paper bag, and he reaches in and finds a bunch of nasty stuff, who knows, swabs and things.
Never reach into some man's bag.
No.
No.
You learned that early in life.
It should just be one of those things.
I can see it on your face. Bag full of VD. Okay. Broward County, Florida. Next story comes to us from Naples, Florida. I believe they have skunk apes around there, don't they, Forrest? Does that sound right to you?
South Florida?
Naples? Yeah.
Yeah.
Skunk
yeah.
apes. Skunk ape territory, I believe. So let's see here. Says that cops were called when some neighbors were causing a bit of a ruckus in the swimming pool. Police arrived there. And let's see. Let me make sure I'm reading this right. Okay, I think I may have originally gotten this wrong. It's not exactly what I was thinking. But anyway, police arrived and they found a man and wife in a community. No, they weren't a man and wife. See, it was a man and a woman, okay? A man and a woman, they were in a community pool there, naked, and they were doing the same thing that the monkeys do in Florida. And when the cops questioned them, the woman says, well, I was swimming laps, and we decided to get naked. We're nudists. And so the cops are saying, you know, you can't do this, because when they walked up, they were right in the middle of this type of scene. Woman says to the cops, quote, this is why no one likes you guys, end quote. And they say that both of them have been arrested now, and apparently a lot of people there were present, and they all just kind of left the pool when this began to happen. I was originally thinking that the two people were cops, but no, they were just busted by cops. All right. Guess it's not that strange, but for it's actually normal for Florida. That's a tame story.
You see it every day down there.
Yeah, that's a tame story for Florida. In fact, you know, when I was down there, you know, I saw some poontang here and there on display. Didn't think much of it. I just knew, hey, this is what happens. But this is a story that'll make you cringe a little bit, ladies. This is a story from Salem, Massachusetts. Of course, infamous for those Salem witch trials. Imagine this, okay? You're a woman. Can you imagine that? You're a woman.
I can imagine. Don't have to imagine too hard.
She had moved into a trailer. Okay? At one point, she's in the bathroom of the trailer. Woman lives there alone except for her little toddler-age son. Woman's in the bathroom, and at one point, her eye catches a little bit of motion on the floor. So she becomes curious, of course, and she looks down and says, what was that? So she realizes she's looking through a duct, and she gets down close and puts her eye right up to it, and there she sees a man laying there, and he says, hello.
Oh! No. No,
Ellie. He just says, hello.
Hello.
I think you may have lost an eyeball if he was in my bathroom.
Turns out the guy was the man who had sold her the trailer. And when he realized that she was going to buy it, he had snuck under there, cut various holes in the floor in the bathroom. When the cops got there, they realized that this man had been practically living under the trailer for the past 2 days. He had food, beverages, tissues, and video recording devices. And you can imagine how he was entertaining himself down there. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more twisted stuff. It's the Dark 30 Hour. You're listening to the program where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.
Lève-toi, c'est décidé, laisse-moi te remplacer, je vais prendre ta douleur. Doucement, sans faire de bruit, comme on réveille la pluie, je vais...
I'm Joshua P. Warren. Yes, Dark 30 is what we call this last late night hour of the program when we share with you some of the more outrageous and disgusting stuff. We have a nice climax lined up for you tonight of just weird, weird, nasty stuff that's happening in the world. And, you know, we're talking about stuff that generally comes from legitimate news sources, but you just don't hear so much about in the regular mainstream news for obvious reasons. It's not the kind of stuff that, you know, you see Walter Cronkite reading on the air. And if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you know, you can learn more about these types of stories and find our Twitter, Facebook. Mobius does an excellent job of posting a lot of these stories to Facebook. Throughout the week, so you can look up the sources for yourself. Again, speakingofstrange.com. Go to joshuapwarren.com to find out some of the other crazy stuff that has been happening in our little circles. Story from Salisbury, Maryland. This is kind of weird. Homeowners called the cops because they suspected that someone had broken into their house. Well, they were right. Cops arrived, and they found a 22-year-old man. Apparently, he had broken into the house, stripped down to his underwear, gone into the kitchen to cook himself a chicken pot pie, and as he was waiting for the chicken pot pie to finish, police officers discovered him sitting in the living room, again, in his underwear, licking the remote control. One of those, why did you do this? Why are you doing this? Why are you licking the remote control? No explanation. In fact, this is one of those stories where there just is no explanation. They say he initially resisted arrest, but, you know, they took him into custody. They charged him with burglary, theft of a chicken pot pie, malicious destruction of property, and resisting arrest. His bail is set at $250,000. Anybody have any theories on why? I mean, I'm thinking, like, obviously, he likes chicken pot pie. Maybe he got some chicken pot pie on his hand when he was about to put it in the oven. He sits down to watch some TV. He picks up the remote. He says, oh, crap, I smeared chicken pot pie on the remote.
Don't want him to go to waste.
See, if I was his lawyer, I'd be like, oh, he smeared chicken pot pie on the remote, and he was just licking it off the remote because he's hungry. And, hey, you have to have some sympathy for the poor, hungry people, right? That's how we get this guy off. He broke in to have a chicken pot pie, and he was hot. That's it. He broke in because he was hungry. He's a poor, hungry man. He goes in, he puts the chicken pot pie in the oven. The oven heats up the room. He didn't want to waste the air conditioning, so he strips down to his underwear. He sits down in the chair. He gets a chicken pot pie on the remote, and he licks it so as not to waste it. The worst we can charge the guy for is being hungry and breaking into somebody's home to get some food. What do you think? Should I
Sounds
be a lawyer or what?
Sounds good to me, Mr. Warren.
Let's go with that.
Prosecution rests.
Yes.
I draw the line at licking the remote. Everything else is fine.
Yeah. Misdemeanor, right? Here is one from Evansville, Indiana. 21-year-old man there is in trouble. They say that he was found passed out in his car with his pants and underwear, quote, heavily soiled with urine, end quote. So he was taken to the hospital. Because people thought, hey, maybe something, you know, medically is wrong with this man. Even though he reeked very strongly of booze.
Uh-huh.
So apparently, when they got him to the hospital, they put him in a little gown. And when he kind of like came to, the nurse says he was, quote, acting out. So I guess that means he was being, you know, a pain in the butt. And so at one point, he got up and just started, you know, rampaging out of the hospital like Frankenstein or something, and ends up escaping from the hospital and running around town wearing just the hospital gown split down the back, fully exposing his buttocks. And a lot of people witnessed this, you know. A man, again, imagine Frankenstein, Frankenstein reeking of booze with his butt hanging out, running around Evansville, Indiana. So, they captured him, and, you know, the cop said, what is wrong with you? And as he started sobering up, he said, well, quote, I'm not really a bad guy, I've just been a drunken a-hole tonight, end quote. That's what he said, pretty much. Okay. Another zombie story, perhaps? You think this guy was getting zombified? I don't know. You're starting to see a pattern emerge here, right? Half-naked guys doing things. It's either naked or half-naked. Nakedness plays a role here. And it does what right here. Mission Viejo, California. Apparently, a guy broke into a church, a Southern California church. Authorities were called. They arrived to found the guy lying there in the church, butt naked. There was white powder on the floor. They found evidence he'd set off various fire extinguishers inside the church. They woke him up and said, what's your name? And he said, Mayhem. Isn't that the name of the guy in the commercials?
Yes.
Turns out this guy is a professional mixed martial artist. A professional MMA. They actually are calling him a reality star. Some people. Jason Mayhem Miller. His name really is,
wow.
Mayhem. And they say he's a popular professional middleweight in the mixed martial arts world, has fought for several organizations, including UFC, but has lost 3 out of 8 fights. He also hosted an MTV show called Bully Beatdown. You know this one, Kelly?
I've seen it a couple of times, yeah.
A reality show where bullies are challenged to take on professional MMA fighters for a chance to win money.
They just find jokes. People are just jokes, and look, these people beat the heck out of them, you know.
I like that. I got to see this show now. I'm going to look that up. I never heard of that before. Okay, well, he's had a little bit of a wake-up. Mayhem. The real Mayhem. It's a good thing he was drunk, because if that guy was in a fighting mood, those cops would have had to maybe kill him. Oh, here's one from another one from Pennsylvania. A 27-year-old man dropped by the police station saying that he had a tip for police officers. He was a good Samaritan. He was coming by to offer them some information about a recent crime. Okay, fine. So they took him back into a secure area and, you know, told him to wait for a little bit until an officer had come out. Next thing they saw, this guy was running out the door. And that's when they realized that a huge bag of marijuana that was about to be put into evidence was gone. They later caught the guy, and he claimed that he had gone in to give him a good tip, but he noticed that big bag of marijuana, and he said, quote, "That bud smelled so good, I couldn't help it," end quote. So he grabbed it and ran out the door. How about that? He's charged with theft, receiving stolen property, tampering with or fabricating evidence, possession of marijuana, possession of drug paraphernalia, et cetera, et cetera. Man, just steal right there from the table at the evidence room. Just walk in. That's kind of embarrassing for the cops. That could have happened to them as well, I would imagine. Their policy, I'm sure, is being reexamined, readdressed. And then, you know, on a similar note, here's a story from Houston, Texas, about a 40-year-old science teacher pulled over by a police officer who said she was acting suspicious, whatever that means. Turns out she had 53 pounds of pot in her car, wrapped in cellophane with trash bags. That's worth about $120,000. This is a teacher in Houston, Texas. And says here, you know, she's been placed on administrative leave. 53 pounds of marijuana. Well, times are tough, right? Teachers got to do what they got to do. Okay, we're coming up on a break. When we come back, I've got these three last stories of the night. One is from Arizona. One is from Montana. And, of course, the last one is from Florida. And there's something about this one from Montana that's especially grungy and nasty to me. I think you'll feel the same. It's the Dark 30 Hour. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. And, you know, it's the stuff that's not for the easily offended, not for the kiddies. It's our duty to let you know what's happening in your world. We'll be right back here on Speaking of Strange.
The New York Times side, staying alive was no job at second hand. Mom bounced on old man, so then we moved to Shaolin land. A young youth, you're rocking the go-to. No boost, only way I'm beginning to G-York was drug loot. And let's start it like this, son. Calling with this one and that one, pulling out gas for fun. But it was just a dream for the team who was a fiend. Started smoking wounds at 16 and running up in gates and doing hits for high stakes. Making my way on 5 days. No question, I was beat for cracks and weed. The combination made my eyes bleed. No question, I would flow off and try to get the dough off. Sticking up right boys on board board. My life got no better. Same damn low sweater. Times is rough and tough like leather. Figured out I went the wrong route. So I got with a sick tight click and went all out.
And the final minute of tonight's Speaking of Strange, the Dark 30 Hour. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. We call it the Dark 30 Hour because this is when we talk about things that are a little more extreme, news stories. Not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. Turn the radio off right now if you come into connection with any of those scenarios, because I have the three last stories of the night we're going to read here, and all of them are just stories that just make you go, ugh. First one here from Mesa, Arizona. Police have arrested a man there after he allegedly spent 2 months on Craigslist trying to set up an encounter with a dog. Okay, 2 months. That's how much this guy wanted this dog. And,
was it one particular dog?
One particular dog. There was a picture of it on the site. They don't say what type of dog it was, but we're not going to have that conversation. I've had bad experiences with that kind of dog before. Turns out, thankfully, he was talking to an undercover officer the whole time. And this 47-year-old man had actually gone far enough to finally meet at a hotel room.
Was he posing as the dog?
Now this is like a Woody Allen film. So the guy comes in. His name was they were apparently doing a sting on Craigslist, and they were listing this thing called willing to try hung canine or something like that. So anyway, guy goes there and he encounters the cops, and of course, you know, they arrest him and they say, wow, this is a whole different breed of people. We're trying to figure out how to deal with this sort of thing. Guess who the sheriff is in this town? Joe Arpaio. How would you like to be arrested? He's Sheriff Joe.
Yeah, the Maricopa County.
Yeah. How would you like to be arrested for this type of thing, of all places, by Sheriff Joe in that county? I'm sure they're going to have a lot of fun with that.
Oh, yeah.
Sicko. Story number two. Great Falls, Montana. Right now, there is a lawsuit against a woman who has been running a beauty school. She's in trouble because supposedly the charge is that students paid $10,000 a head for her class, right? And then once they get in there, some of the things that they have to do is trim her intimate areas. Okay, that's your beauty class. You get to trim her, you get to wax her. It says at one point, quote, she even requested students examine a boil to see if it could be extracted. And then once they're done, she kicks them out of the school and keeps their $10,000. That's the charge here. And apparently there are various people who say, yeah, I guess we're learning something, but then she kicks us out as soon as we're done cleaning up her little nasty areas.
Does this look infected to you?
Yes. $10,000 for that. Hmm? And of course, I could get more in detailed with that story, but I don't think I need to. And then we have this story, which for some reason seems, in my mind, kind of related to that story in a weird way. This is a story from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I have to end the night on a Fort Lauderdale, well, on a Florida story, right? And you may have heard about this, because I think this is, you know, a lot of people have been sort of buzzing about this. A new fad, but it's being especially championed right now by a 22-year-old woman. Now, we all know tattoos are very, very popular. Okay, I mean, especially, I think I see more tattoos on women than men now, actually. I see every time I saw a woman the other day at like the post office, and she looked like some kind of school marm, you know. She had a dress on and a pearl necklace and everything, but then, you know, the dress peaked down a little bit, and here's a tat on her back. Women are really getting tats, but this woman, she is championing a new type of tattoo, a tattoo on the behind. Okay, now that's not that unusual to get a tattoo on your behind. But what she's talking about is if her behind were the Death Star and Luke Skywalker were attacking it, the place where he would aim his rockets, okay, that's the spot that I'm talking about. She says the inking experience there feels, quote, really, really good, and it is, quote, the next big thing, end quote, that everyone is going to want one of these. So there you go. Run out there, kids. Be popular. Get your own. And that's going to do it for this edition of the show. I thank Brian Hall, Forrest Connor, John Anderson, Mobius, and Kuka. This is Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. So next time we'll be at speakingofstrange.com. Be sure to sign up for the free e-newsletter and the Twitter. And tune in next week for a brand new one. You are commanded!
I like to do it. Do it, Carl.